We're going to open our Bibles tonight to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And tonight's message is called Hearing God's Call. And let's just read the first few verses here in 1 Samuel chapter 3 to get the context of what we're looking at tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called to Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Have you ever stopped to think about and consider the interruptions that define our lives today? Our days and our nights are full of gadgets that ping and buzz and bip their way into our attention, taking us away from whatever we're doing, whatever we're thinking about. And it's really constant. It's like we're in communication overload. Scientists say that there are fundamental biological limits to what our brains can pay attention to. But we can't seem to resist a blinking inbox or a buzzing phone, kind of like a dog can't resist chasing that cat. And a study has found that the typical student can't go more than 2 minutes without becoming distracted by social media, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, emails, texts, or maybe even just the plain old web. So really, the current generation can't concentrate on one thing for more than 2 minutes. And it's getting worse. The epidemic of communication in today's world. The average business person sends and receives hundreds of emails a day, and that rate is growing. Instant messages are increasing, and texting is just everywhere. And it can become an addiction. And there are people who are diagnosed with technological addiction. Marriages even break up over social media, sadly. The surge of texts and social media, this communication overload. And the idea that we're supposed to be able to monitor, troll through all this stuff, and keep in touch with God at the same time becomes a little bit absorbed. Some people say things like, my life is lived on the internet, which means it's not lived in the real world. With all these interruptions and distractions, how are we supposed to listen for and hear the voice of God amongst all that noise? It says there in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 3, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, I think we see here that the people weren't listening. People weren't listening to God anymore. Eli definitely had lost touch. And you can see that if you read the whole chapter and what God had to say about Eli and his sons. God was talking. God was nudging people. And it wasn't that God wasn't sending out his word. It was the people weren't hearing him. And really, we can see that happening today. God is always speaking, calling, nudging, communicating to us through his word. But people aren't listening. We're not listening. We don't hear his call. And sometimes we might think or say, the word of the Lord is rare. God isn't communicating with us anymore. And with all the hate crimes and terror attacks that we see, it can sure seem that way. It's like everybody is nuts. What voices are they hearing? We don't even want to go there. God knows it's not his voice they're listening to. And some people tend to throw up their hands and say, where is God in all this chaos? If you listen to the politicians, and especially in an election campaign, and the 24-hour news cycle, it can become depressing. It can become very depressing. It's very difficult to slow down and listen for God's voice. But that's exactly what we need to do. If we can't hear God's voice, what hope do we have? All this terrorism, hatred, gang violence, is that all there is to this life, to this world? Are the McMansions, ridiculously expensive cars and houses, expensive clothing, is all that stuff worth it? Or is it just blowing in the wind? Is that what it's about? Does possessions bring us happiness and fulfilment? Does peace, world peace, bring us happiness and fulfilment? Are we meant to be self-centred, looking after our own needs? Or is there another way? Is there a purpose? Is there a reason to live? Hannah, Samuel's mother, and we know the story, was at the end of her rope when we begin the book of Samuel. She was not able to have children, and that was the dearest thing on her heart, to be a mother. And so she took that time in the temple, and she promised God that if she could have a son, she would dedicate him to God's service for life. In a way, Hannah took a chance. But she became pregnant, and she had a son, and she named him Samuel, which basically means God heard. God heard her cry. And Hannah kept her promise, and Samuel grew up there in the temple from a very, very young age. And he lived in the temple. He slept in the temple. And he aided Eli in the duties of the daily tasks in the temple. He basically was a full-time altar boy, if you want to use that term. And here in this passage we read, he's about 12 years old. And God that night calls to Samuel. And Samuel thought it was Eli who was calling him. He wasn't expecting to hear God's voice that night. He wasn't really listening for God. It just wasn't something people did. The word of the Lord was rare, precious in those days. And finally, Eli realized what was going on. It was the Lord calling to the boy. Then Samuel went back, laid down, waited, and listened carefully for God's voice. His focus changed. Suddenly, he realized this was something different. You know, sometimes our Christian friends, mentors, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, pastors, preachers can point us to God's voice. Sometimes it can be even more random things that God brings into our life. An act of kindness, a homeless person we meet, a door opens and we hear God's voice, as it were. A commitment on our part to do the right thing, and before we know it, we hear God's call in our hearts and minds. But here we have Eli telling Samuel that it was the Lord calling him, and he became expectant. He had a different attitude. He was ready to hear. So how can we be ready to hear? How can we be prepared to hear God's call to us? You know, we read there in verse 10 of 1 Samuel 3, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Notice the words, he called as at other times. This wasn't something new. God had been calling Samuel this night, and he came and stood and called as at other times. God had been calling to Samuel all the time, but Samuel didn't realise. And God is calling us as well. And sometimes we don't realise, we don't hear it. We're not focused on it. And this time, that last final time when the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Samuel was listening. He was paying full attention, and he wanted to hear what God had to say to him. And think about this concept. How many of us really want to hear God's voice, or God's calling, or God speaking to us? We need to be honest with ourselves. It can be risky to ask God to speak. It changes our lives if we listen. No matter the details of what God calls to us, he'll always call us away from self. He'll always call us away from selfishness. And he'll call us into that new life, lived in love for God, service for God, and loving our neighbours. If we heed and listen to the call of God, we'll be never the same again. But don't we always say we want to know the will of the Lord for our life? Don't we say that we want to love God and we want to love other people? And we say we want to live life the way God intends us to live? And we say we want to do what God wants us to do? And yet often we're not willing to listen when God calls. And sometimes we're caught up in the mindset of, what's in it for me? How will it benefit me? God isn't a commodity. You know, studies show that listening doesn't come naturally for most of us. It can be a real problem. And often you can realise that someone is saying something and you're not really listening. We aren't good listeners. And it's not just a problem in relationships we have with people around us, people we know, our family, friends. But the problem is perhaps even greater when it comes to our relationship with God. You know, notice there and down, we didn't read this far, in verse 15 of this chapter 3, it says, "And Samuel lay until the morning." It doesn't say he went back to sleep that night. It says he lay until morning. It implies that he lay there in the bed thinking about what God said to him. He thought about it. He meditated upon God's word. And when the time came, he spake God's word to Eli. And later, he spoke God's word to the whole of Israel. You know, he took time to digest what God had told him and then proved the truth of God's word by putting it into practice. Verse 19 says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." Now clearly you can see the theme of chapter 3 here is listening. Samuel listened. When he realised who it was he tuned in and he listened. You know, what are we listening to? Who are we listening to? There's a lot of useless noise in the world that we can listen to. A lot of useless voices. And often we focus on the wrong ones. There's a lot of people who have no interest in really, truly hearing what God has to say. And so it may seem that in the year 2019, the word of the Lord is precious, it's rare. But that's a lie. We have God's word. You know, we have God's word more prolifically than anyone in history. We have it on our phones, we have it on our computers. We can even bring it up on Google. God's word. We have it in printed form, electronic form. It's easy to get. You can have 20 copies of God's word if you want in your house and no one blinks at that. God's word is everywhere. It's all around us. It's live and it's there. But do we listen to what God's word is saying to us? Do we act on what God's word is saying to us? Only then will our world change as it did for Samuel. And the word of God, it's not necessarily the audible voice like Samuel had. But the problem is still the same. We don't hear when God calls out to us. A man was concerned about his wife hearing, so he consulted a doctor. "It's getting really bad," he said. "How bad?" asked the doctor. "I don't really know," the man said. "Help me find out." And the doctor had a good suggestion. "When you get home, call to her from the front door. Then go nearer to the room where she is and call to her from outside the room. Finally, you have to go right up close to her and speak up close to her and see what point she hears you. And then we'll better work out how bad her hearing is." So the man gets home. He opens the front door and calls out, "Darling, is dinner ready?" Nothing. So he went closer to the kitchen door and where she was. Called out, "Darling, is dinner ready?" Still nothing. Finally, he went right up to his wife and spoke in her ears. "Darling, is dinner ready?" His wife turns and looks at him and says, for the third time, "Yes." What the man thought was his wife's problem was actually his. He couldn't hear her. And this is so often true of our relationship with God. We say God's not speaking to us. Perhaps we're not hearing him. Perhaps we're like the people that Jesus talked about in Matthew 13:15. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." You know, God had spoken through the prophets. No one wanted to hear it. God sent his son. No one wanted to hear him. You know, think of our times of struggles, when we perhaps struggle with what we think is God's silence. Could it be that God has already spoken, but we weren't listening? We missed his call. We thought the issue was on God's side. He wasn't talking to us. Perhaps it was the problem was actually ours, and we missed his call. We missed hearing his call. You know, this passage in 1 Samuel 3 is all about God communicating to this young boy, Samuel. And he wanted to talk to him about the house of Eli. And this chapter introduces Samuel, the prophet, his beginning of his prophetic ministry. We know that from reading through the books of Samuel. We know that God does communicate with us. We believe that. And here in 1 Samuel 3, we're presented with a problem that deserves our attention. And it's the source of the whole night we read of here, of the back and forth between Eli and Samuel. Samuel heard a voice, and he had no idea that that voice he was hearing was from God. And he went to Eli, and Eli said, "No, it wasn't me." And that he went back and forth, back and forth. You know, how was Samuel supposed to know that it was God calling out to him? How was Samuel supposed to know that God was speaking to him? He had no idea. He had no clue. And that was Samuel's problem. And I think we face that same problem today. Of course, we live in a time when God does not audibly call out to us in the night. We live in a time when God no longer sends prophets to speak. We live in an age where God speaks through his word, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us and helps us to understand what God is saying to us. So, how do we know when God is speaking to us? How are we supposed to read the Bible so that God will speak to us? How do we know when we're hearing from God or from some idea in the back of our own brain? How do we distinguish between God's voice and our voice or men's voices? And the danger is that we can follow a voice that isn't God's voice. We can follow words that aren't God's word. We can follow ideas that aren't God's ideas. But I think here in chapter 3 of Samuel we can find a resolution to the problem. And I think we can see four truths here in the story of Samuel hearing God's call to help us, give us guidance on how to know when God is calling to us. And I think the first thing we see in this account of Samuel is you have to be close to God to hear him. Look at verse 3 here in 1 Samuel 3. "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." There's a picture here. Samuel lies down to sleep. And perhaps in the next room, not far away, was the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. And we know from reading the scriptures, the Ark of the Covenant for Israel in those days was the symbol of God's presence. Samuel slept not very far away from the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God. He slept not very far from the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, within the walls of the temple. And in those days, you couldn't get any closer to the presence of God. God did not choose to speak to Eli, his priest of the time, because of Eli's sons and their sin and Eli's failure to deal with that. So God chose to speak to Samuel, who was near to God. You know, I think we see throughout Scripture, nearness to God increases the ability to hear him and communicate with him. And that makes sense in even in our physical world. If you're near to someone, you hear them a lot better than when if they're right over the other side of the room. And you might have to yell to hear each other properly. Deuteronomy 4:7 says, "For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for." You know, nations can be only great when they have God nigh to them. Zephaniah 3:1-2. "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God." The corrupted city drew away from God. She didn't obey his voice. She didn't trust the Lord. She needed to draw near to God. Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We need to draw near to God. And James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. And I think we can see the concept clear. We need to be near to God. We need to draw near to God. We need to be close to God. The closer the better. And then he will be close to us. You know, it's real easy to draw away from God. And it's possibly a lot harder to draw close to God, to draw near to him. Because the closer we get to God, we realise how holy he is and how unholy we are. And there's things we have to give up. There's habits we have to drop. But if we want to hear the voice of God, we must have a good, close relationship with him. We must draw near to God. We must be someone who puts God first and has that close relationship with God. We need to put aside the distractions and draw near to God. And we need to be close to him, like Samuel was that night. He couldn't get much closer to God than sleeping in the temple near the Ark of the Covenant. How close are we to God? Are we drawing nearer to God, or are we drifting away, allowing things to pull us away? And then I think the second thing we see for being able to hear God's voice, obedient faith is required. You know, the picture we get of young Samuel here, he was young, but he's also someone who had that simple obedience, that simple faith in obeying God. You know, the message God had for Samuel that night wasn't a nice message. And God had to speak some hard things to Samuel that night about Eli and his sons. You know, when Samuel was instructed by Eli how to act, he obeyed. He said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And when morning came, he obediently relayed the message to God, even though you can see from the passage as you read it that he didn't really want to tell Eli what he'd been told. He feared Eli's reaction, maybe. Perhaps he thought Eli would be angry. You can imagine his problem here. This message that he had wasn't the nicest of messages, but he obediently relayed it, word for word. And we saw that in verse 19, where Samuel's described as someone who grew and the Lord was with him, and the Lord didn't let any of his words fall. You know, Exodus 19:5 says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." God values obedience, especially that obedience of faith. Samuel might not have understood everything that God told him that night fully, but he was obedient and he relayed the message as he was told. You know, Luke 18:28 says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And keep it. Obedience. It's good to hear the word of God, but we also have to act on it. We have to be obedient to it. And we know that verse in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." God sees obedience as proof of our love to him. And if the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in John 14, verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." That obedient faith. If you want to hear the voice of God, we need to be willing to be obedient. God could have spoken to Eli, but obviously he knew it was a waste of time. And so he spoke to Samuel, and Samuel obeyed. Eli had let God down in many ways. Sin had broken the relationship with Eli and God. Sin blocks us hearing his voice. If we're living our lives the way we want and only think about God every so often when we get in a bit of trouble, we can't really expect God to speak to us. In fact, he probably won't. We must have that obedient faith, and we don't want to have selective obedience. And, you know, Samuel was obedient, faithfully obedient. Are we willing to obey in faith what God calls us to do? Samuel was asked to do something fairly hard for a young man, to speak to a man that was probably three times his age and tell him what God had said. Hard words, but Samuel did it. And I think the third thing we see here in our passage is, in order for us to hear God, humility is required. We must be humble. You know, Samuel was humble. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. There was no pride on Samuel's part. He was humble before God. You know, Samuel's actions after hearing the message from God also proved he was humble. If Samuel was a proud boy, he would have delighted in taking that message to Eli. You're doomed, Eli. You've sinned and your sons too. But no, Samuel didn't want to tell him. He was humble. Humility is perhaps the most important key for hearing God's voice and working out what God is saying to us. Humility means we put to death our ideas, our ideals, and we allow God to direct our ways, our thoughts. We give up our desires and let him direct us. Humility means we're willing to change and learn and adapt to what God tells us. And there's no pride and I know a bit better and I can do it this way. Psalm 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. God will teach the meek his way. Psalm 149:4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. He'll give salvation to the humble. Isaiah 66:2, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. We need to be poor and of contrite spirit and tremble at God's word. And 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In order to hear the call of God, we must be humble. We have to put away our pride, and we have to be humble before God. We must be meek and humble. And people who are full of pride probably won't want to listen anyway. And pride gets in the way of hearing God's voice, and pride gets in the way of then obeying God's voice. I can't do that because it's against something. Pride can block God's call out. Finally, and probably very important one, confirmation is required. And this truth that we see here in this passage is perhaps the most practical and probably the most helpful. And we see here in this story how Eli confirmed that Samuel was hearing the voice of God. Eli was the one who told Samuel, "The Lord's trying to talk to you. Go back. And when he calls, say, speak, Lord." You know, what was confirmed to Samuel was this voice he heard wasn't Eli's voice. It wasn't anybody else's voice. It was the Lord's voice. And in hearing God's call for us, I think God confirms his call to us in two important ways. The message you get from God will always line up exactly with what we find in his word. God will not tell you one thing when his word says something totally different. God is consistent God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change his mind. You must match what you feel in your heart with the unchanging word of God. And when you think you need to do something and it doesn't match God's word, then what you're feeling isn't from God. And second, I think God will have someone in your life who will confirm God's calling to us. I'm not saying circumstances, I'm not saying feelings, I'm saying someone, a person. Eli confirmed for Samuel that God was calling him. Verse 8, the last part, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he shall call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Eli confirmed the call of God for Samuel. You might ask, who is my Eli? Who can help me confirm if God is calling me? Pastors, elders, Christian family members, friends who are Christians. Don't go to someone who will tell you what you want to hear, but rather choose someone who's close to God. We come back to that first point, drawing near to God. Obedient in faith, humble. So they will tell you truthfully if they believe that God is calling you. You know, Samuel's experience here shows us it's possible to hear God's voice and not know that it is God calling us. And that's partly because perhaps we don't well know him well enough, we're not close enough. Sometimes we tune him out. So we need to ask ourselves, are we drawing nearer to God? Or do we let other things become between us and God and we actually are drifting away? Are you close to God as Samuel was that night? Do we have that obedient faith like Samuel did? Perhaps God has spoken to you, but you've been reluctant to obey. We need to be ready to obey. God knows our heart, and he won't speak to us if he knows that we were not going to obey him. We need to have that faith to obey God and not to question his command to us. And we need to be humble enough to hear God's voice. We don't want to be too full of self and of our own plans, and then God's call falls on deaf ears. We need to be humble, we need to be meek, or we'll miss the call. And are we willing to seek godly counsel about God's call to us? Again, pride comes into this one. We can be too proud to ask for advice. We can be too full of ourselves. I know what's best. I don't need to help. Ask anyone for help. I hope each of us are ready to hear God's call, God's voice when he speaks to us, and that we'll be ready to listen and understand and obey. And perhaps we need to make more time to draw away from those barrage of interruptions that we get and that the world bombards us with, and draw nearer to God for change. Draw nearer to God. That verse 19 here in 1 Samuel 3, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. We get a picture here of what Samuel became after hearing God's voice that night in the temple. Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. Again, we see a closeness to God. He grew and the Lord was with him. The Lord was there with him. Is the Lord with us? Are we growing in the Lord? And notice that last part of the verse. The Lord didn't allow any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Samuel became a well-known prophet of God. And we see a glimpse of his fame in 1 Samuel 9:6. Not much further down the track. And it was when Saul was looking for his lost donkeys. And his servant says to him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honourable man. All that he hath said surely cometh to pass. Let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. That was Samuel. God wasn't letting any of Samuel's words fall on the ground. People knew that he was a godly man, a man of God, and that he was honourable. And everything he said surely came to pass. God blessed Samuel. Why? Because he listened to the call of God. He listened to what God said. And then he didn't stop there. He obeyed. And God blessed him. And Samuel grew. And the Lord was with him. So the question for us is, are we willing to listen? Then are we willing to obey? And then we will get the blessing of the Lord. I trust that we all can draw nearer to God and listen to his voice, to his word, and his call to us. Amen.